Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in D.C. It is Saturday, the 27th of December, Anno Domini 2014. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. And we're doing it all for the absolute last time this year. I'm not doing another show this year. I'm warning you guys right now.
That's one heck of an attitude.
I am done for the year. You forget
it. Except the one tomorrow.
Except for tomorrow in Second Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not here.
6 o'clock.
It's not here.
He says for here.
Right, right. I don't think of that as shows. I think of that as a
I don't know. We better talk to Rob about your attitude.
That's right. I'm not doing another radio show. I'll do maybe next year I'll come back, but no more here.
Maybe?
Maybe. You never know. Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. As the spirit moves me. All right. Yeah, right. I hope you all had a terrific holiday season or are having a terrific holiday season as Kwanzaa just started. But we are here to talk about computer stuff. So we'll start with the news. Apple has pushed out its first ever automated security update to Macintosh computers to help defend against newly identified bugs that security researchers have warned would enable hackers to gain remote control of the systems. The company pushed out the software on Monday to fix critical security vulnerabilities in a component of its OS X operating system called the Network Time Protocol, or NTP, according to Apple spokesrobot Bill Evans. NTP is used for synchronizing clocks on computer systems. By the way, those of you on Windows or Linux machines should also have seen an update come through for exactly the same thing. The bugs were made public in a security bulletin on Friday by the Department of Homeland Security. God bless them. And the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. Carnegie Mellon identified dozens of technology companies, including Apple, whose products might be vulnerable. That is to say, if you have an operating system that uses NTP, you are vulnerable. When Apple has released previous security patches, it has done so through its regular software update system, which typically requires user intervention. The company decided to deliver the NTP bug fixes with its technology for automatically pushing out security updates, which Apple introduced 2 years ago but has never previously used because it wanted to protect customers as quickly as possible due to the severity of the vulnerabilities, Evans said. Apple does not know of any cases where vulnerable Mac computers were targeted by hackers looking to exploit the bugs, he added. The update is seamless, he said. It doesn't even require a restart. This sort of no-restart update has been available to Apple since they first replaced the kernel with a Unix-related kernel. It's actually the same technology Linux has been using for decades. Apple, and so our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, Apple updated OS X behind my back, and your choices are, great, one less thing for me to worry about, where has this been all my life? Shouldn't I have control of my own system? And couldn't care less. Yeah, those are your choices. And so far, couldn't care less is ahead with 72% of the vote. But of course, I know you'll have more to say because you are who you are. So if you look, if you go down the right-hand column under fascinating stuff, you'll see the forums. And if you click on the forums, you'll see a list of all the forums, and the second forum there is the poll discussion. And if you click on that, you will see that the first item there is 27 December 14, Apple updated OS 10 behind my back. So far, three people, well, me and two others, have posted, but you're welcome to join us in that discussion. And then, of course, come back and join us here. And give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, it's kind of that catch-22 where this is such a critical update, it needs to be installed immediately, and but so many people don't bother installing that, you know, do we push it out and they get mad, or do we make it available normally and no one installs it and they get mad when they're hacked or whatever.
Right. Right. And I'll tell you what, I have turned off automatic updating on most of my systems. But I have one that I almost never actually log into. It does stuff in the background for me and you know, it's automated backup and blah blah blah. And I have security updates turned on for that one automatically. And every once in a while, I get a notice that I have to reboot it if it's a kernel-based security update. But in general, I never have to reboot it, and it updates in the background without even thinking about it. In fact, like I said to you guys before, this year I bought my first Windows computer in a very long time, and holy moly, it's annoying.
Yep.
Doing those updates.
Especially when you first get it, you know, 130 updates waiting.
I steeled myself for that one. I was ready for that one. It's all the others that happen. I swear to you, Microsoft is watching me and only updates my system when it will be inconvenient for me.
Yep. Well, I had a machine. It was a laptop. It was infected. I got it cleaned out. Then it wanted to do 22 updates, Windows 7.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, let it rip. After it did the updates, machine wouldn't boot.
Yeah,
it gets the Windows logo and everything else. And the thing of it is the video driver that they recommended is mucked up.
Yeah.
And they screwed it up so bad that even safe mode won't work. I tried going in and doing last known good boot up. I was a week and a half trying to figure out the issue. Can't. Short of just something else with the spyware and all that she had in the machine and other junk, you know, I wound up using this one program I used to at least get it going,
right,
which it did, and then it wanted to do the updates and didn't get to run the rest of them because they don't give you a choice. Once you boot up, it starts doing the updates.
Oh, yeah, you don't get a choice.
Yeah, you don't get a choice. It's like, son of a gun, all right, let it. And there was still other stuff in there that I wasn't able to get out that's preventing it from booting. So the only solution, they didn't want to hear it, was to, you know, redo the machine. I said, I can still get the documents and all that off and everything else, but it's going to take a lot longer and it's going to cost more.
Sure.
That was unacceptable. It's like, where's your backup?
That's right.
Yep.
I didn't get around to it.
Well,
you know, it hurts to be you.
You know, a friend of mine once said, pay me now or pay me later.
Yep. I go by that. You know, it's the old Pram oil filter commercial.
Yep.
The guy stands there with a wrench and a filter. He says, you can pay me now holding up the filter, or he says, you can pay me later.
Yep.
Meaning the wrench and a lot of other work on the machine.
It continues to amaze me that people want work done for free.
Oh, yeah.
When it's your livelihood. I mean, if a friend of mine calls me up and says, can you come over and help me, you know, buy me a beer, whatever that is, I don't have a problem with that. But when it's your business, like it is for you two guys, and someone says, can you fix this? And you say yes, you're hearing, can you fix this as a person who owns a business?
Yeah.
They're hearing, can you do this for free?
Yeah.
I have so many times wanted to ask a customer if I can come to their office and get what they make for free.
Yeah.
Because they assume they can get it from us for free.
I was at a party, and this guy kept asking me computer question after computer question after computer question. And I finally said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a doctor. I said, you know, doc, I got this pain. He said, stop right there. Call my office. I said, really? And he stopped, and he blinked, and he said, I'm kind of an idiot, only he didn't use the word idiot. And I said, yes.
At least he got it. How many times they don't get it?
Yep. Or I love the other ones that'll sit there and bring it in and tell you, oh, it shouldn't take you that long. Or I was told that it shouldn't take you that long to fix.
Well, who told you that? My buddy. Well, then let your buddy fix it.
Exactly. That would be my immediate response.
Or, they sit there and say, I don't think it should take you that long to fix. I heard that it should be easy. Well, then go ahead and do it.
Yep. And all
if
you
it's
college,
that easy, then you do it.
All you college kids that are home on break, take your computer to the shop now. Don't wait until the day before you leave.
I've had those.
We had one girl that said, my plane leaves in 2 hours. Can you fix the computer before?
No.
No.
No, it's that simple. No.
Oh, yeah. I'll try. But you know what?
It's not going to happen.
Rush rates?
Yes, it is a totally. And I did have one.
And there's some things you can't rush.
They dropped it off the day before. And the child was leaving. It was later the following day. And we got to have it. I says, tell you what, it's going to cost you. And I was surprised. The folks go, we realize this. And you know
so many don't.
No, here's the better part. They said, we know your normal rate. And I told them what it's going to cost them. They said, our child is making up the difference.
Ooh.
They made them pay for it. They go, this is totally unacceptable. We feel bad coming to you because you've always done good by us, asking you to do this. And I thought, you know what? God love you guys.
That's exactly right. Good for them.
So what I did for them is I did give them a break.
Sure.
But I says, don't tell your kids that. They go, heck no. They let them pick up a little more of the bill.
Sure, why not?
And I says, you know what? God love you guys. I says, you know, that, and I appreciate that. You were honest with me. I'm going to be honest with you. And that's good.
Yep.
And they had been longtime customers. I mean, they've been with me for over 20 years.
Right.
20 years. You know?
All right. So kids out there listening.
Yeah.
Don't wait until the last minute to admit your machine is screwed up and it needs to be fixed. Parents, ask your kids now if their machine needs to have any repair work done to it before they go back to school. And if they say no, then tell them good, because this is the last day you can get it in to get it fixed. If you wait until the last minute, it ain't going to happen.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I hate that. Oh, by the way. Packing the car for the trip. Oh, by the way, my computer's broken. I need it fixed.
Yeah. Okay, when we get back, we'll do that. Looks like
it'll
be...
we had a lot of those at Thanksgiving, and they said, well, okay, work on it, and then he can pick it back up at Christmas. But now the next break is a long time away.
Yeah, right. That's the thing so far that I love about the Chromebook. Not just that you don't have any real issues with it, but if it dies, I can just wait 5 minutes, and it'll go, oh, I should reload this from the cloud. And it does. And if it actually is damaged physically, they're not that expensive to replace. So I've been very lucky about
disposable
that.
Disposable computers almost.
Yeah. And again, for the second year in a row, Chromebooks have been the number one selling computer on Amazon. In fact, last year, I don't remember this year. Last year, they took the top five spots. And this year, pretty much, yeah, Chromebook.
An Asus, an HP, another Asus, a Dell, another Asus,
yep,
an Acer, Toshiba, Samsung, Dell, HP.
Yeah.
I'm still going, and they're still Chromebooks.
Yep.
I'm down to number 20. And now I'll go to the second page.
Yeah. And this bodes very, very badly for Microsoft. Microsoft really needs to step it up. Well, part of that, of course, last year was the top five before a Microsoft computer appeared. Now you're telling me there's 20 before it appears. The big thing is OS, Microsoft Windows 8 and 8.1. Most people... It's slightly undeserved, but most people think it's crap and they're not going to buy it. So they're waiting for 10 to come out. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that music in the background. Sorry. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Jack on the line. Jack, where are you calling from?
Goshen, New York. How
Goshen,
you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Not too bad.
What can we do for you?
You probably know me better as Moody. It's been a while.
Yes,
though.
I do. How have you been?
Not too bad. Calling with a hard drive issue. I inadvertently, on a second hard drive in a computer, deleted the partition. It was a data drive. And when I go to computer management, it shows the drive as uninitialized, I believe was the term they used, and they asked me to initialize it. Every one of the data recovery programs I've come across, like ESUS and Recova, do not show the drive. And I'm just wondering if I need to initialize it or if there's another program I should be looking into.
And you're trying to retrieve the data on it because your last backup is seriously out of date. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it's not my computer. That makes it even worse.
Oh, there you go.
I was reformatting the initial partition, which was a dual boot with XP and Windows 8, and they wanted to wipe the XP partition, which I did, and when I tried to recover the space, it didn't work, so I ended up doing a reformat and used the whole drive for Windows 8. But in my haste, I deleted the partition on the wrong drive. I have not written anything to that second drive, so I'm kind of hoping that maybe there's a chance I can still retrieve something.
Well, it's possible that if you put the partitions back, you'll be able to see something, but the problem is it'll put them back differently.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's no guarantee that the data that were there will
I'm wondering
be
if,
readable.
So, yeah, yeah, I do understand that.
He doesn't want to do
like
that
said,
because
the
that will put different...
The data recovery programs are not even showing an unallocated partition. So that's why I'm wondering if there's another step, if I need to initialize, or, again, another program. I had come across another one, I think it was called Czar, and I forgot... And there was one other one, I don't remember the name of it, but that one said it would pull the partition back again without going through Windows.
Would that be SpinWrite?
No, it wasn't SpinWrite.
Moody, tell you what, do me a favor, because I can't think of the name of the program right off the top of my head, but if you email me, you know, dave@jazz901.org,
okay.
I will either, you know, over the weekend, get you the name of that program and see if that will work for you.
I am finding one called Yodot, Y-O-D-O-T, that claims to be able to recover your partition tables from uninitialized disks.
Okay. I don't think that was the one that I had found, so maybe I'll look into that one then.
It's $80, but it looks like there's a free demo. I don't know how much of the demo-ness works.
Okay.
There's also one from a company called ESUS, E-A-S-E-U-S.
Yeah, that program I already have, Partition Manager or
yeah,
Partition
something.
Recovery.
Yeah.
That one didn't see the drive, didn't see the partition on it.
All right. Also, there's a place called PartitionRecovery.com. Also, Seagate.com. Seagate has
okay.
a recovery services. I didn't look at that one.
Drive Savers has recovery services, too,
yeah,
but
they're
expensive.
They're expensive.
I wasn't looking to spend a lot of money on it, but
right.
The data is kind of important. All his pictures were on it, of course.
Of course. There's one called Seagate File Recovery Software at Seagate.com. And there's a try before you buy. It's $99, but there's a Windows and a Mac.
Okay.
Trial.
Well, that would be worth it if I could recover what's been lost.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not looking to spend thousands of dollars, but, you know, up to $100, I guess, is reasonable if the data is recoverable.
Right, exactly. And Microsoft... Oh, I lost it. Hold on. Microsoft was recommending something. Oh, for God's sake. If I see one more of those stupid pop-ups, take our poll, please. Take our survey. And they actually have built-in tools that talk about how to recover a deleted NTFS volume.
Okay, that's what it was.
And that's a knowledge base question, number 245725.
Okay.
245725.
All right, you gave me a few options, things to look into. I'll also email Dave and see if he can get that program that he was familiar with also.
Yep.
All right.
All right, my friend, have fun.
So in the future.
You too. Thank you very much. Have a happy new year.
You too. Don't be a stranger.
Yep. So when you're deleting partitions, make awful darn sure you've got the right partition selected.
Well, that's unusual that you even partition anymore.
No, every drive has partitions. You have to have partitions.
But well, yeah, you can have one partition on the drive.
Yeah, but I mean doing multiple partitions anymore.
Well, we're actually most...
It's cheaper just to throw another drive in.
What it sounds like he did was it's a separate drive, and he deleted the one partition on that drive.
Oh.
And I'm also seeing that most of the commercial PCs are coming with a second partition with recovery software on it. Reinstallation software. But I've got a gateway in the shop now where it won't boot far enough to get to the recovery software to reinstall Windows.
Any hard drive can have, in the Windows world, can have at most four partitions. It used to be that you used one, maybe two, but with the, UEFI boot thing that they do now, it takes all four partitions. So you if you want a dual boot Linux... Or you want to dual boot something else, you have to go through some massive machinations.
Too many partitions.
Because you don't have any more free partitions. Exactly. All right. Don't forget, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, a toll free 1-800-790-0415. Over the last year, Google added the OK Google hot word to both the Chrome browser and Chrome OS computers. It worked well, but there's a catch. You need to be on a new blank tab before speaking. Now, a new experimental feature adds OK Google support on a full-time basis for Chromebooks. As long as your Chromebook screen is powered on and unlocked, you can ask away and Google will try to obey your commands, according to Google's Francois Beaufort, who noted the new feature on Friday. This feature is already available on many Google Android phones. Android 5.0 or Lollipop fully supports it, for example. Adding it to a Chromebook in the same fashion is new, though. And because it's experimental, your Chromebook must be running on the Chrome OS dev channel. Even if it is, the function has to be manually enabled. To do this, just browse to Chrome:// flags in your browser and scroll down to the Enable Hot Word hardware option. Click the Enable link and restart the browser for the change to take effect. Once you do that, a pop-up notification will signal that you can voice search at any time. Before you start speaking to your Chromebook, though, Google will walk you through a few steps to enable the required voice and audio activity functions that support the OK Google command. This includes training your Chromebook with your voice. Just like on an Android phone with this function, you'll need to teach the Chromebook what you sound like by speaking OK Google a few times. After that, you should be set. And you won't need to be in a blank tab or even in the browser at all to use voice commands with a Chromebook. So, do you run a Chromebook in developer mode? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And how many devices did you just activate by saying the key word?
Yeah, well, I actually thought about that, and then I realized this particular Chromebook is not in dev mode. Most people don't run their Chromebooks in developer mode. And in fact, because it's so new, most people aren't running it. Give me a year.
Yep.
Give me 6 months. And I'll just be able to say,
you'll be
okay,
dangerous.
Google, and machines all over the...
Well, wasn't there that Xbox One commercial where the guy in the commercial was talking about the voice features? And when he spoke the words, everyone who was watching the commercial, their TV shut off.
Yep.
Because if they were using the Xbox to view the video?
Yep. Well, what's...
Xbox off.
The other interesting thing is OK Google requires you to do a little setup so that it specifically recognizes your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Siri does that.
Yeah, you have to specifically turn on Hey Siri so that it's in the always listening mode.
But it used to be, well, but my point is about recognizing your specific voice. Because it used to be, after class ended, 10 people would take out their phones and hit the button and you'd hear that distinctive bong noise.
Yep.
That says Siri's listening, and somebody would always yell, phone mom, call home, that sort of thing. And phones would start ringing.
Yep.
So I don't know that it specifically recognizes your voice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Andy. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. Nick, this is I do have a question, but a quick follow-up. Mrs. Claus was very nice to me and brought me a Chromebook.
Oh, very nice to you.
We were debating the tablet versus Chromebook, and I decided to go with the Chromebook.
Well done, Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, the price for the size of it was far better.
Yeah.
The minute you get into a larger tablet, it's like $800, and a 13.3-inch Chrome was under $300. So that was there was no doubt in my mind where I was going with it. And
if you do a lot of stuff, the keyboard becomes an essential anyway.
Well, I have fat fingers, so typing on screens doesn't work anyway. So.
Right. And you're loving it, aren't you?
I haven't had a lot of time to play with it. It's been a very busy holiday weekend, but I've had enough time to say it. The quality of the screen is nice, and it's a lot easier on my eyes than looking at my smartphone.
Yes. What brand did you get?
The Toshiba.
I have a 13-inch Toshiba. Did you get the Chromebook, too?
Yeah.
Oh,
the B3340.
Yeah. I have the one, and I love it, but the two is much nicer.
There's always a new model coming.
Yeah.
I looked at the reviews. This one was a little more, but it actually had the HD video, which if I'm going to use it to go out and look at things on YouTube or other places, I want the better video.
Yep. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful toy, and it's light, and it's easy to use, and I end up carrying mine everywhere.
It is nice, and I did get your book, and I did read through it.
Thank you.
Once I could figure out how to get it to scroll without jumping 10 pages at a time.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, the guys told me they don't number the pages sequentially, so you press down and the number jumps. It doesn't jump sequentially. It just, you have to.
I see what you're saying.
But it did give me fairly good background so I could read it, and when I got the machine, I wasn't surprised by anything.
Good.
Nice.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. If I can just take a moment to plug my books, I have two out on the Amazon thing. You can also purchase them directly from the homepage of soundbites.org, about halfway down on the middle column. The two books are Google Docs, Word Processing in the Cloud, and the one that Andy bought, which is I Just Bought a Chromebook, Help. And they're only 99 cents. And I also want to thank all the people who have left reviews, both good and bad. I appreciate that. It helps me make them better, so thank you. Anyway, Andy, what's your actual problem? Enough about me.
Well, I don't know if it's anything we can solve today, but the friendly folks at Time Warner are going to double the cost of their modem the first of the year.
Yes.
I also looked at their webpage and was a little perturbed with them because I was paying $18 a month more than they were letting anybody else buy it for. So I called yesterday and kind of had a chat with the sales department, and they nicely agreed to give me the promotional rate for a year.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you're a current customer, you don't qualify for any of the promotional rates. So I'm looking at the promotional rate on their website, which is half what I'm paying now, but I don't qualify.
Yeah. Well, I called and they said, well, your current promotion has expired. And I said, yeah, well, I've been with you for about 15-plus years now. I haven't had a promotional rate since I first signed up. So, you know, well, we can do this for a year for you. Okay, fine. So they carved about $23 out of the bill. But in the meanwhile, if this is the game they're going to keep playing, you've been talking about, I want to say, Greenlight?
Yeah.
What's the scoop with those folks?
Okay, here's the deal with Greenlight. Greenlight is fiber to the home. Okay. They're at greenlightnetworks.com, by the way.
So instead of using the coax cable TV wire from Time Warner or the copper phone wires from Frontier,
they actually move fiber to your home, which means you can get speeds up to 1 gigabit per second.
Okay.
Now, the current pricing on their system, on their website, is $50 a month for 100 megabits per second and $250 a month for a gigabit per second.
$50 a month is less than I'd be paying TWC,
yep.
And it's three times as fast. So
yeah. No, it's five times as fast. Are you getting 20 megabits per second now?
15.
Yep.
Times 3
that's,
is 45.
That's their standard package is 15,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 45 is less than half of what you're actually going to get because you get 100 megabits per second.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said 50.
It's $50 a month.
Oh.
100 megabits per second.
Oh, six times as much then. Okay.
Exactly.
Almost seven.
Yeah, six and a half. Yes, yeah. Six, seven times faster than what you're getting now. There is an installation fee of $100, but you talk to them about that and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, most homes are getting the 100 megabit. Most businesses are getting gigabit. Although, of course, if we could all afford it, we'd all be getting the gigabit, let's be honest. And it's 20 megabits per second upload at $50 a month. And at the 250, it's 100 megabits per second upload. And they bring fiber right to your home. So, they're not everywhere yet. They're not as ubiquitous as either Frontier or Time Warner yet because they're new. They're doing one neighborhood at a time.
So are they in your backyard yet?
They are in my backyard, but they are not yet in my house.
Oh, dear.
My hope is shortly after the first, it's going to be a very fast 2015 for me. That's the plan right now. Yeah, exactly. And it's waiting for this is worse than waiting for Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the deal. And they are building out as fast as they can. You want to hang on? We'll get back to you in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Andy from Greece, and you. It's 41 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we still have Andy on the line. So, Andy, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, so that's the deal. The basically what you're looking at is with Greenlight is you're getting the same kind of service that you get with Frontier or Time Warner. That is to say, internet service, and this is strictly internet service. It's not phone. It's although you can connect your magic jack
voice,
or whatever
voice over IP
are.
And
right. And it's not television, right? It's strictly internet service.
That's right.
But it's like six times faster than you get from Time Warner and, I don't know, 174,000 times faster than Frontier.
You got to have separate email or does it have email accounts attached to it?
Actually, Greenlight does not even do email.
Okay.
You know, they say, look, you can get a Gmail account, an Outlook account, a Yahoo account, all for free.
Yeah, basically.
And then it doesn't matter whose service you use, you will always have that account.
Oh, that's true. So the website in that was greenlightnetworks.com.
And if you go to the sign up for service, they use those sign ups. You're not actually signing up to pay for service.
I keep telling them they need to change the verbiage.
Yeah.
There.
The more people who sign up in your neighborhood, they use that to see what neighborhood to go to next. So get all your neighbors to click on that sign up, and then the more people in your neighborhood, you can get them to come to you next.
Okay, and mention Nick's name, and I'll get a good seat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get a bad seat, maybe.
Mention my
probably
name.
Probably get thrown out.
Yeah, they'll look kind of like Scooby Doo.
Yep. And then one of the things you can do for Time Warner Cable, you can purchase your own cable modem instead of renting theirs because their rental fee is the one thing that's going up to $8 or $9 a month.
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can rent one from them or buy your own. They list about $100, but you can usually find them for cheaper online.
They're about 65 65 to 69.
Yeah, and Time Warner has a list of approved modems that I posted a link for, which makes it easier for you to get it switched with them. But the Motorola 6121 is a great little router. The 6141 I just found for $88 at Walmart. And so now in less than a year, it will pay for itself, and you don't have that fee on your bill every month.
Right.
Right, but if you've just got the standard service, what I mean, is there any advantage to having the 6141 as opposed to the 21?
The 6141 is capable of 100 megabit. So if you've just got standard, in fact, here in Rochester, 50 megabit is the most Time Warner offers anyway. So the 21 is more than enough for Rochester. We're hoping some of the the premier cities. So New York and L.A. got the 300 megabit service, cable max with two X's because X's are cool. Unfortunately, in Rochester, we don't have that yet. So it's kind of future proofing. If you get the next model better, then it'll work better when the new cable system comes through.
Okay, but it would work with the existing systems that are there.
Yep.
Okay, but if I eventually got green light, then I'd have to go get something different anyway.
They provide their own router, and then you plug in your wireless LAN router yourself.
Okay, well, that I got.
Yeah.
So right, and again, any router you have that will do 100 megabit is going to be, it depends. If you get the gigabit, you're going to have a router that does a gigabit. But you just match your router to the speed you bought, and you're on your way.
Okay, so I might have to update. I got an AC 1900 Linksys, so I'm not sure.
Well, AC is 1300 megabit wireless and gigabit wired anyway. So
okay,
you should be fine.
You should be fine.
Okay. Well, I've already future-proofed myself on that one.
Yeah.
There you go.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Hope you had a good Christmas, and hope you have a good New Year's.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the things we've recommended in our shop, every time someone comes in with a Roadrunner email address, is take a look at your cable bill, especially if you've been a cable subscriber for a while. They tend to add things to the bill that you may not have noticed, and you just complain that the price keeps going up. You may be paying for packages you don't use. You may, you might have got the trial of some, 3 months free for some movie channel. If you don't use that movie channel, you can cancel, that service and stop paying the bill. We're also seeing some of the services overlap. So you might be paying, one fee to get, say channels 2 through 10, and you're paying another fee to get 2 through 50. Well, they're overlapping, so you can cancel that first fee. Jackie in our office has been really good at getting people's cable bills cut by 20-30% just by reducing the overlap and stuff you didn't know you were paying for.
Yep. And I will say that sometimes they do really nice stuff. They did good by us. They apologized for a small error that they had made, and they gave us HBO for a year for free. So that was was very nice of them.
It's they give you the channels for free, and then you get hooked on them and then start paying for
them. Well, I do understand that. But
yeah.
All right, our next caller is Rich from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's up?
Hello, guys. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that holiday stuff.
All the same to you.
I was lucky for this Christmas to get a My Passport Ultra portable drive to do my backing up.
Nice.
But I have a question.
Yeah.
I have several machines, two machines, that have multiple copies, I guess you can say, of the same data. So a letter I wrote about something maybe on two machines or three machines. Is there anything that could help me with maybe making it all one, or getting rid of multiple copies of things, programs, clip art, all that kind of stuff that I may be saving on my drives?
Sure. What you're asking about is data deduplication.
Okay.
Barracuda Networks, Barracuda.com, makes a dedupe software. Oh, golly. That's the only one I know off the top of my head. I think Symantec still makes one.
There's a couple of programs that they call themselves cleaning programs, and one of their features is finding duplicates. The one problem I found with those types of cleaning programs is they give you a list. Here's the duplicate files we found. Which one do you want to delete? And you have to look at them both. Well, I don't need software to do that. I can look at both the files myself.
Right, right, right.
But and I've had that happen with maybe copying different, you know, data in different places where it says, oh, you've already got this.
Right, but most of the time that only looks at the file name, not the file contents, and that's what makes it so difficult. They, you know, two files may have the same name but completely different contents.
Okay. Is there something I could Google or, like I said, looking at what you guys are saying?
Data deduplication.
Data deduplication.
Right.
Okay.
It's the word duplication with DE in front of it.
Okay.
EMC makes makes one also. They're a big backup company. A lot of the backup software can do that because it's scanning for every file anyway, so most of the companies have a higher-level program that can scan for and skip duplicates.
Actually, what you want to look for is deduplication software.
Okay.
That's really the thing you want. EMC makes it. Barracuda makes it. OpenDedupe.
I mean, I was thinking about using the backup software and stuff like that of maybe just trying to back everything up to one file on the passport, but I don't know if that's going to, you know, take away something that I might already that I might want that's already there or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, normally when you back up two computers, it goes into two separate folders. One thing you can do to help stop that in the future is use a synchronization program, especially an internet syncing program like Dropbox or SugarSync or Google Drive. So you put a file in your Google Drive on your computer, and that exact same file shows up on the other computer too. So if you edit it on one computer, it becomes edited on the other computer. So you
right,
don't.
As long as both of them are talking to the same Google Drive.
Right. So you don't get duplicate files
in the
first place.
There's a program that I've used in the past from Microsoft called SyncToy.
Yeah.
Similar concept, yes.
Okay.
So, but
all
you have
right,
to do that first
into that or
before you create
something.
Duplicate files.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the information, and we'll see you next year.
Yes, you will. Thanks. Have fun. Yeah, deduping is important if you have. If you do keep multiple copies of the same data, and here's a hint, you definitely should. If you haven't used a syncing program that specifically takes care of that, you may find that you have duplicates. Duplicates are not necessarily bad as long as you know they're equivalent duplicates.
Right.
So, for example, as I've said this before, I have a copy on a different hard drive, I have a copy on a different network, and I have a copy out in the cloud, and I know they're all the same.
And if you have multiple devices, which a lot of us do these days, your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, then you probably want to sync data between them.
Right.
So you can use this. You can work on the same file between each device.
Right. All right. We got a couple of minutes to talk to Alan from Irondequoit. What's up, Alan?
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, happy holidays.
You
and
too.
My problem is I've got a gateway. I think I'm operating on Windows 7, and the internet is extremely slow. Now, my local features are good. I've a contract with Geek Squad. Called them up. They looked it all over. They said the computer is clean as a whistle. And I also called Time Warner, and they reset something, and it did improve it for about an hour. So what it does, the internet runs really slow, slower than it should. I click on a shortcut. It takes at least 30 seconds, maybe more, to get the shortcut or to get the site I want up.
All right. There's a couple of things you need to try.
Okay.
First, do you have another computer you can hook up?
yeah,
or a friend
I do.
With a laptop?
See, no, if that has, that, sure.
see if that has the same problem. Mm-hmm. That will tell us if the problem is in the computer or in the network.
Have you done a speed test over the time?
Well, it's what it sounds like he's having a problem with is domain name searches.
Hmm.
But do that first and see if, in fact, there seems to be a difference between the other machine and this machine.
And
the second thing you should do is dance the security tango. Because there are a number of viruses that change the domain name services, and you should make sure that you don't have one of those.
Okay, wait a minute. Repeat that again.
Dance the Security Tango.
Oh, okay. That's an actual service.
Yeah, it's securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click if you go to securitytango.com.
Yep.
Check it out. You'll see exactly what it does.
Okay, and then that would straighten out the things if I'm having a problem with my domains being changed.
Right. That's the start at any rate.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Try those first. Thanks.
Bye bye.
All right.
I'd also say try a different browser, see if the same thing happens there, too.
Try a different browser. Could be in the cache as well. All right, listen, we're done with the first hour of this show. But for those of you who are slow learners, we'll do it all over again on the other side of this break. So we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. Man, this is tempting. During the break, I was looking up SSD hard drives, and Newegg has a 120-gigabyte SATA 3 internal SSD for $60.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I may have to do something about that. In the meantime, we're back to the phones, and our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's up?
I wanted to ask you about going on the website, and you get this gray double circle with the exclamation point in the middle, and you can't get the video. Why does it sometimes happen?
Our website?
No, not yours, but different websites. You go to click on the video, and you get this circle, this gray circle with an exclamation point in the middle. What is that?
That usually means you don't have the program you need to play that video. Or if it's like a Flash video, your player is out of date, and you need to update it. Because Flash is so common, the bad guys keep finding holes in it, and so Adobe will update Flash almost every week, it feels like now, and so the web browsers will prevent old versions of Flash from loading, so you don't get hit by one of the exploits. So oftentimes, if you click on that icon, it will tell you what it means and tell you which player you have to update.
Yeah, well, I have the Adobe Flash, and I get these messages that say it needs updating, and I go to I don't click on it because I think it's fake. I already have the latest version. Have you seen those fake messages?
Yeah, the fake messages are common, which is why you should go to the Adobe website and download the current version yourself. Uh-huh. And as I said, Adobe Flash tends to get updated every week or so.
Yeah, well, yesterday I went to the, I changed to the Google Chrome, and I was able to get that video. I normally use Explorer.
Because Chrome,
know if it's got anything to do with it.
Chrome has Flash built in, and Chrome updates it for you.
Oh, so that's probably better.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Here's
one
the
other thing.
On
the high-speed turbo that Time Warner offers, the lady tried to sell it to me on the phone for an extra $5 a month. Do I need that if I don't play video games?
Well, it's mostly for the extra speed is good if, for example, there are several of you who play video games or watch videos.
No.
Yeah, downloading large files,
downloading
like
large
videos,
files.
Yeah.
I just use basic regular internet. I don't play the games and normal email.
All right. Then you shouldn't have a problem.
Qualify for that higher speed.
Well, you don't need it. If you want it, it's only $5 a month. You're the one who knows what you're...
Do things feel slow now when you're trying to load a video?
Yeah, really.
Would I notice a difference?
If it feels slow when you're trying to load a video now, then getting faster internet would make those videos load faster.
All right, I think I'll try it. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. The other thing that he didn't seem interested in waiting to hear was... That circle with the exclamation point in it is actually comes from Flash. And what it also is telling him is that he's low on memory.
So that could be, there's not enough memory to play the video.
Either he got one of those $100 Windows laptops that doesn't have enough RAM in it.
Yep.
Or whatever, but that...
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that weren't discussed. And also... You know, a lot of folks, and I've heard this a lot, though, will sit there and get that turbo boost thing.
Yeah.
And not notice much difference.
Yep.
Because there's so many other folks on that D-Slam, or, you know, that pipe.
The Weasley words are up to. So standard internet is up to 15 megabit.
Yeah.
So you're getting 10. Well, that's up to 15.
Yeah.
Right.
So you buy the faster internet, which is up to 50, and you're getting 10. Well, that's up to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's...
So just because you buy more, you may not get it.
But make sure that you can get out of it if you're not happy.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Because how many other people in your neighborhood are on that same wire, and that can slow you down? We have a lot of customers...
the time of day, too, is a big
factor. Yeah, we have a lot of customers notice that. 2:30, 3 o'clock, everything gets really, really slow because the kids just got home from school and got on their video games.
Yep. That's one of the things I love about being retired. If I'm up at 2 in the morning, I own the internet. You know, there's no waiting for me at 2 in the morning, so that's nice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Lee from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's up?
Hi. I just recently got a Galaxy S5.
Nice. Good for you.
Learning my way around Android. I switched from a Windows phone. And I'm trying to listen to your broadcast live on my phone, and it keeps telling me that the stream is not supported. And I've got I use Play Online. I've got the Samsung Sound Player. I've tried Google Play Music. I'm also running the Dolphin browser, and I can't get anything to play. It tells me the file's not supported.
Here's the thing. There's a couple of different ways that you can get what we have, but one of the things that you should definitely check out, I've lost it now. Oh, here it is. Media. We have a brand new app, the Jazz 90.1 app, and it's pretty nifty. It has a lot of things, including Listen Live. So if you were to listen through that, it's got all kinds of great stuff. It's got jazz news, the club calendar, meet the DJs, photo, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. And at the very bottom of the list, if you scroll down, you'll find the Soundbites archives.
Woohoo!
In addition, you can listen live right through your phone. Now, that does, of course, if you're listening through your... data plan, it takes up some of your data.
Yeah.
But if you're listening via wireless, then it does not.
Right. Right now I'm at home on wireless, but I just looked for Jazz 90.1.
Right.
And I'm not seeing an app in the Play Store.
Yeah. Look for Jazz 90.1.
Or Rochester Jazz. That's how I found it in the iTunes Store.
Also... Is the jazz stream working? I'm getting an error.
Maybe it's just not working at the moment.
That may be your issue right there.
Nope.
I'm getting an error.
I'm getting it on mine.
Oh, you are getting it. All right.
It's an M3U file, the stream.
Yeah.
So that's you need a player that can do M3U.
So right. What other players do M3U besides the one that comes with Samsung and the Google Play?
There are a couple, but let me finish this information about the Jazz 901 app. If you go to the main page at jazz901.org,
yeah.
and scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see a link to the app for both the iPhone and Android.
Got it.
So you'll be able to download that without a problem. And as far as an M3U player, there's one called M3U player. There's another called ServStream. There's a bunch of them. I also tend to listen before the new Jazz app came out. I was listening via Zia Live Lite, XIIA Live, all one word. You can add the Jazz 90.1 stream as a stream to play. The other thing that you can see on the streaming live page when it's working is that it has multiple choices, including at the bottom a link to a standard MP3 stream, which pretty much everything plays.
Right.
But my suggestion is get the app.
I'm installing it as we speak.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
All right. It's installed and it's running.
There you go. And please, if after you've played with it for a while, go back on the system and give it a back on Google Play and give it a rating.
Then I'd have to actually do my Google Plus profile, which I've never done.
Ah, okay. Well, then never mind.
But I am a member of Jazz 90.1.
That's what we like to hear. If you got to be a member of anything, that's the thing to be a member of.
And I'm still waiting for my T-shirt to come.
Okay. All right.
I know it does take them a while after the pledge drive ends to get everything mailed out to everybody.
Yeah, it's no, all it's volunteers, fine. As you know.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Lee. We should remind everybody that new app is out. You can get a direct link to it at the bottom of the jazz901.org homepage. You should install it. There's lots of very cool stuff on it, including a Listen Live thing, and the Soundbites archives are available there. So you can get them at the touch of a button. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic, all the way from Dayton, Ohio. How are things in Dayton?
Pretty good. For the person that wanted to recover a lost partition, I forget his name. Anyhow, the programs he should try would be, number one, Test Disc, TestDisc, or K, maybe. And
repeat that, please.
Test Disc.
Okay.
Another one to try would be Fix Parts.
Okay.
And also, a lot of the partition managers have that provision, like the ones from Easus and Paragon. I don't know if it's available in the free editions or the professional, but someplace along the line, they have Recover Lost Partitions.
Excellent.
But the one you really want is Test Disk,
which is free and open source.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Very nice.
So is Fix Parts.
Oh, Fix Parts.
Yeah.
Man, you need to jack up my sound. I'm not hearing anybody correctly today. Okay.
Yeah, Fix Parts. And the first two are, they're not a graphical user interface. It's like you're on DOS. So it might be hard.
They're Unix-based.
Yeah, exactly. And you might want to try some of the partition manager programs from Paragon and Easus. There's a whole bunch of them. And some of them, I don't know which ones, have that provision also. Now, they're a graphical user interface.
Right.
And they'll work. But Test Disks, Fix Parts, definitely will find it. No question about it.
Perfect. Love to hear that. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks. And Moody, you should, I know you're still listening, so check those out, Test Disk and Fix Parts. Thanks, Vic. Get your answers from Dayton, Ohio. Just call in to us and we'll do the relay. I love that when users call in with solutions. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because especially, none of us know everything, but all of us do.
Yep. Especially a free and open source program, which probably gets vetted more often than,
you're
than
right.
a proprietary program.
That's exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Oh, we have a rumor. We have an Apple rumor.
What's that? What?
Got small hands? If so, Apple's new 4.7-inch iPhone 6 might be a bit too bulky for your tiny paws, and that 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus, forget about it. Fret not, small-pawed folks. Apple understands and might have something special in store for you. Rumor has it that Cupertino is bringing back the 4-inch form factor last seen in the iPhone 5S with a sparkly new device for 2015. In a note to investors this week, Cohen and Company analyst Tim Arcuri said that Apple may be working on three versions of the iPhone for 2015, a 4.7-inch iPhone 6S, a 5.5-inch iPhone 6S Plus, and a new 4-inch model dubbed the iPhone 6S Mini.
Minus.
Yeah, minus would be better. We believe specs for the 6X Mini will be close to those of the iPhone 5S, but with the curved screen edges, because that's so important, like the iPhone 6, it may include some purpose-built low-cost components, Arcuri said. If Apple does move forward with the handset, it would likely be a replacement for the lower-end iPhone 5C, which did not get an upgrade in 2014. As for whether this will actually come to pass, we just have to wait and see. As Apple Insider noted, Arcuri, like most Apple analysts, has a spotty record with Apple prognostication. He did correctly predict certain iPhone 6 features before the phone's release, like the larger screen size, but also incorrectly claimed the 6 Plus would have a more powerful processor than the 6. So is the iPhone too big? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And while you do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And
we're frantically typing.
We have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up? What can we do for you?
I just wanted to make a suggestion, not to take away from your app for Jazz 90.1, but sure. I have great luck listening to you on TuneIn Radio.
Yes!
Yeah. Or Pandora, we listen in our office, too.
I love the TuneIn Radio app because it buffers your show. If I miss something, I can back it up.
Yep.
If somebody who calls me inevitably calls me while I'm listening to the show, I can pause it and go back to it.
Bless you. I just don't answer the phone when somebody calls and I'm watching something I want to watch. Yeah, don't bother to call me during Doctor Who because I just don't answer the phone.
So it's a great little thing to have because it does, like I said, you are able to pause it or back it up. And
yep, TuneIn Radio is a pretty terrific product. And again, it's an app that you can download for pretty much all of the devices. So
oh, and a quick little note. I called a few weeks ago when you weren't there. And I don't know if you know that they added a feature to Avast that you can scan your router to see if it's infected.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So, wow. All the people that they've upgraded to the latest version of Avast, it has that feature in there now, and you're able to check your network, your router.
Nice. In the free version or the paid version?
In the free version.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
That's really, really nice. Thanks.
Yep.
Good to know,
I
Mark.
Have a wonderful
Thanks.
Day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Because we've been seeing more and more router exploits lately where a bad thing can get into your router and rewrite the firmware because a lot of routers have administration open by default.
Right.
And then there was that weird port 32
yeah
7 4 whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
That was open by default. Nobody knew what it was, but one of the things it would do was dump the entire contents of the router's memory, which quite often includes your Wi-Fi password. So yeah, then anyone sitting around can get into your network because the password is right there ready for them to get.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Vic. What's up?
Hi, guys. I have some audio files on a flash drive, and I'm not always near a computer to access them. Is there something I can plug it into that's maybe portable or permanent that I could access them when I don't have a computer?
A lot of tablets and music players can read MP3 files off of a flash drive.
What do you mean by music players?
Like the iPod Touch or the Amazon.
Plug a flash drive into an iPod?
You need the USB adapter, but you can, yeah. The Amazon Kindle.
I've got a Kindle, and there's no place to plug a flash drive in.
You need the USB adapter for devices that don't have a standard USB port.
I've got an adapter that I have never used it yet, but it's got on one end it's got the USB female, I believe, and the other end has got the end that is the same size as the cell phones, the micro or mini end. Would that be what you're talking about?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, I bought one, I forgot, about a year ago. And I don't remember where I bought it, and I've never used it. But, yeah, that sounds interesting. Okay, I was just curious on that. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You can certainly do that on any of those devices.
And in fact, yeah, now that I think about it, the MP3 players are kind of dead now because tablets took over. And now you can have handheld tablets, and that's your handheld MP3 player in addition to being a tablet. So Apple still has their low-end iPods for people who just want music. But with Android tablets and iOS tablets, the next step up.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to try to find my adapter and try it. All right, well, thank you very much, guys.
There you go. Good luck.
Yep.
Now, not all devices can, but most of them can read an external MP3 file. Typically, the flash drive has to be formatted FAT32. And there was a little trick on the iPads and iPods. It will read photos if that photo is in a folder called DCIM.
Right.
Because that's how your camera stores photos on the camera flash drive. And so you can, in essence, create your own flash drive and mimic a camera and then import those pictures, view those pictures on your iDevice as well.
Right. And that's really kind of nice. I've actually done that in places, transferred a bunch of files.
Yeah.
To USB drive, just plug it into a television somewhere.
Yep. So you can show off your photos on a bigger screen rather than on the little tiny camera screen.
Right, right, right. Nowadays, of course, you can, with Chromecast or with the,
yep,
what you call it from Apple, what
Apple
is it?
Apple TV.
On an Apple TV, Apple, yep. But don't they have a name for casting
AirPlay.
It? Like AirPlay, that was it.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, both of those.
My wife would always insist on her old camera with the 1-inch screen trying to show me the pictures. They're too small. I can't read them. Put them on the computer for it. No, here, look. Okay. I can't see that, but I'll pretend to look at the camera.
Right.
So I got her new camera for Christmas. It has a big screen on it.
There you go. I have a tough time. People are always sending me, and because I'm often looking at things on my phone or I'm looking at things on a smaller screen, people send me pictures and say, take a look at this. And it's this tiny little picture.
Postage stamp.
And yep. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Other than just say it's lovely.
Just say, nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's great.
That's
really like it.
From a camera on a flip phone, probably.
Yeah.
Because most smartphones will take full-size pictures.
Yeah.
Big,
decent quality.
Big pictures, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and quality that you could blow up. You could put your fingers on the screen and, widen it to get into.
In fact, that was a little annoying. That this sort of cheap point-and-shoot camera I got from my wife was 20 megapixels.
Yeah.
My big Kodak camera I got last year is 16 megapixels.
Yep.
But it has a 30x zoom on it, so I bought it for the high zoom rather than the high megapixels.
Mm.
Right.
But yeah, but yeah, if hers 20 megapixels, 10x optical zoom, it was, you know, cheap comparatively. We were joking about the first digital camera we got was a Sony Mavica. It used a floppy disk to store pictures on. The pictures were a whopping 640 by 480 resolution, so that's 0.8 megapixels. And it was $1,000.
Yeah.
You used to pay $1,000 a megapixel. And then there was a big breakthrough at $100 a megapixel. And now it's down to about 10 cents a megapixel.
And of course, the latest rumor is that Kodak is bringing out an Android phone.
Ew. Kodak made Apple's first QuickTake camera.
But, that camera.
But then the next generation was from Fuji, so they got mad.
Yeah, apparently.
Apple.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so Kodak is fighting itself back from the brink of irrelevance, I guess. But
well, and that was the big thing about Kodak. They invented the digital camera in the 70s and just never marketed it because everyone's going to, you know, we're going to use film forever.
Well, that's exactly right. But they seem to be pushing a Kodak branded smart phone, I'm very interested in it. So if anybody from Kodak is listening and they'd like somebody to review it, I would be honored to step up and do that.
The three of us would be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So far as I can tell, this is a rumor. There's no mention in the official PR. Well, there's official PR about it. So clearly it's actually coming out. There's a...
Yeah, but are they going to...
Kodak
drag,
and the Bullet Group.
But the problem with Kodak is, though, is they drag their feet. They drag their feet in getting anything out, and somebody else will jump them on it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I still have my old Kodak camera, but my, like you say, Steve, my phone can take darn good pictures, and, I can quick send that picture to somebody else if I want to share it.
Yeah,
they can download it and print it and do whatever they want with it, and it's just that flexibility,
right? And I've turned on backup, so and I've got 4G, so you know when I take a picture, it zips up to the cloud and it's stored there. If I lose it, if I lose the camera, I've still got the photo there.
Still got that, yeah.
So that's kind of, it's called the Kodak mobile device. That can't be the name of it. Please, God, don't let that be the name of it.
Oops.
Kodak mobile device range. Seriously? I don't know what that's about. But anyway, they say they're bringing out... There's no real specs here, so I don't know.
They're going to be announced at CES next month.
Yeah, they're going to announce it at CES next
A lot
next
of new
month.
Stuff probably will come out then.
Yeah.
I think we should be sent to that.
I think we should be sent to CES. This radio station should send us there so that we can come back to our loyal and beloved listeners and report to them all the cool new things that will be at
CES. We are the longest-running computer show in the world.
And we don't seem to be
going
there.
And we should report this to the world.
I know it. I know. So at any rate, honestly, I hope Kodak makes $1 billion off this phone.
That'd be nice.
I truly do.
And it's interesting, too, because most of the cell phones have been concentrating on being a phone first, and then we got into all the apps first as the main thing the phone does, but more and more people now are using their cell phone as their only camera.
Right.
So it kind of makes sense for a camera company to get into the phone business.
Right.
And make it a camera first, and then it can run apps, and then it can maybe make phone calls if you want to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that Kodak could be onto something if they put out a good phone. And it's got to be a good phone with a great camera and good software. There's a certain segment of the market that will jump on that immediately. And going with Android means that they're now in with the number one phone software in the world. So that means
they're
something.
They're doing that right.
Exactly right. So it's pretty cool, I got to say, if they...
Although I hope that picture is wrong.
It does look sort of like something invented in Russia in the 50s.
Well, it's the Kodak Instamatic for 2014. The old Instamatic, yep.
Hey, don't laugh at the Instamatic.
Yeah. But the company they've partnered with, Bullet from England, makes rugged phones for construction, basically construction workers,
right?
And we've actually got a Stanley case in our shop for the iPhone. You know, it's real heavy, thick rubber in Stanley yellow. So if you got a tool belt full of Stanley tools, you can have your Stanley iPhone case too.
That's a nice thing. It's still an iPhone inside, but it looks like yep. Stanley on the outside.
And it's got to be rugged enough to survive, you know, being dropped off the telephone pole or fall out of the cherry picker.
Yeah, right.
And yep. bounce, yeah.
Right. All right, here's a news story that I find interesting.
Hmm.
A federal judge in New Jersey...
Oh, yeah, this one's
good. ...has signed off on the practice of law enforcement using a fake Instagram account in order to become friends with a suspect, thus obtaining photos and other information that a person posts to their account. No search warrant is required for the consensual sharing of this type of information, United States District Judge William Martini wrote in an opinion published last Tuesday. Defendant Daniel Gatson's motion to suppress the evidence obtained through undercover account will be denied. The criminal case, known as United States versus Daniel Gatson, involves a man accused of perpetrating a long series of burglaries, taking primarily jewelry worth over $3 million in total, in New Jersey and neighboring regions. Gatson, representing himself in the case, had attempted to have the data collected from Instagram thrown out, as he claimed there was no probable cause to search or seize such data. In October 2014, BuzzFeed reported on an incident where a Drug Enforcement Agency officer created a fake Facebook page with photos that had been seized off of her phone during a 2010 arrest. Jonathan Mayer, a scholar at Stanford Law School's Center for Internet and Society, who talked about the case, said he had never heard of a case involving Instagram. I can't recall a previous instance involving Instagram, or more importantly, where a judge has approved the practice, he said. I do think that it's unambiguously correct. That's unambiguously the correct application of the Fourth Amendment precedent, though. So do you think Instagram photos should be searchable by police in a criminal case? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ramey, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Paul from Brighton on the line. Welcome, Paul. What's up?
Yeah, I just reinstalled AVG after I did a restoration on my computer. And when I try to launch it now, I'm getting just computer unknown, you know, with an orange circle around what looks like a monitor, and all the other utilities within the application are also giving the same kind of an error. And one of the things, when I downloaded the latest copy, you know, they force you to download a version of McAfee as well, which I don't really need because I already have other antivirus programs running. Do you know anything about this? Right now, it says no. There are no active components with an exclamation point right next to the screen that comes on when you launch AVG.
It sounds to me like you had a bad download, and the installation did not go well. I would re-download it,
yeah,
and make sure you're downloading it from AVG, not a third party.
Right. I was pretty careful about that. It did come up okay, and it started to did a scan for a few times, a few days, but now I'm getting this, as I said, this weird screen.
Yeah, download the AVG remover and reinstall.
Yeah, redo it again.
Yeah.
Well, let me also suggest you install something else as well.
Yeah.
Not to run always, but to check and see if there might be some AVG-specific virus you picked up. Because you say it did run well.
Right.
And now it's stopped.
Yeah. What's this thing?
Avast or one of the other other tools, just to be safe.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any of those things.
Okay. Yeah. I've been thinking of moving to Avast in any event. I'm very happy with AVG the last several months.
Yeah, I'm not saying get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying just check and see
just
if there's
something else.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think of McAfee, though?
Person, I liked him when I met him many years ago, but apparently mm-hmm. turned into a whack job. I don't know.
I like that video he put out.
Yeah,
the current application is what I'm referring to.
Oh, I see. I find it to be good, but bloated. It's actually gotten better. The latest iteration
sort of like
is,
semantics was there for a while. Norton
for a while. McAfee it does great stuff, but it was so bloated. You really needed a really, really fast machine with an awful lot of RAM to take advantage of it. But it's gotten better.
And we also hear that the bad guys know about McAfee and Norton, and they don't release the software until it gets past them. So that we've always recommended using one of the smaller companies. But then when the small company gets big, they get added to the bad guys list. Yeah.
But that's the whole problem. Viruses aren't as prevalent as much as spyware and...
Right.
Yeah,
you know, them trying to steal information.
Which we're back now to the whole suite that the suites add the AV, the anti-malware, the anti-this, the anti-that.
You still need an antivirus program, don't get me wrong, but more attacks are coming that they get into your machine and do runtime stuff. You know, rootkit, that's another big one. You know, if they can get it at the root of your machine so that they're attacking it before you even get into the OS... Then they got control of your machine, and they can, you know, steal information, fake you into thinking that they've overtaken your machine, and that you've got to call them up and pay a stupid fee to get it off, and it's still on there.
What I don't like is AVG forcing forcing the download on you when you download their program. I'm sure there's some financial relationship between, I guess, Intel now owns McAfee, right? So there'll be some financial relationship between them that AVG is reimbursed for, but still, it's annoying to have to make you do double work to first download it and then eliminate it by removing it.
Right.
It takes up your time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, but you've cleared some things up, so I'll give it a try. Thank you very much.
Great. Yep. Thanks.
Bye.
And that's sort of one of the issues we're seeing now with some, the free software. Across the different types of software is that they include the Ask toolbar or the Yahoo toolbar or the McAfee toolbar as a way to help monetize the free program. But you can end up getting so many of those toolbars installed that they all fight each other and your whole computer.
I had one customer that had 12 of them.
Yeah.
12 different toolbars. And they were wondering they couldn't see much of their screen.
I've seen screens where you literally could see nothing.
Yeah.
Of the actual web page, because there were so many.
Yeah, there's so many on there. And they
scroll
go,
down through the thing. It kept saying, I don't know where they come from.
Yeah, and they go, how'd they get there? I go, evidently, when you were downloading something, you agreed to it. No, I didn't. Yes, you did when you went by that screen and said, okay. And they said, we're also adding this onto it besides the software that you wanted to download.
Sometimes there's a checkbox you can uncheck, but we've seen more and more of them that don't have that uncheck.
Or there's a thing off to the left-hand side, and it's faint. It says decline.
Yep.
Right.
You can decline it. It'll still install the other program that you're installing by declining this other crud that they want to load onto your machine. Yep.
We've seen that a lot with download.com when they got bought by CNET. They started putting their own wrapper around it, so you get basically a CNET ad every time you download something.
Right.
And AVG is using CNET for their distribution. It makes sense for them to use someone else to actually host the file and have the millions of downloads and pay for the bandwidth. But it seems to be very frustrating when you start getting all this extra stuff in your download.
Yeah. But we see that a lot. You know, we're seeing it more and more. People are way more in our faces than they used to be. How many websites do you go to now? The website hasn't even finished coming up, and they're asking you to take a survey about how great the website is.
Yeah.
I don't know how great the website is.
Let me get back to you on that one.
I haven't even been here yet. Those things just make me a little insane. That's, you know, that's one of the reasons, because I'm an old curmudgeon. I used to be a young curmudgeon. Now I'm an old curmudgeon.
Where's that put me?
Well, yeah, you're ancient. You forget you're a curmudgeon.
No, I'm just older than dirt.
Yeah, you are.
I invented it.
It's a good invention.
Thank you.
Yeah. It gives the
think of all the cleaning products that are around now.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't, it's one of the reasons I went to Linux, to be completely honest, because.
Well, the Chromebook is pretty.
And one of the reasons I stick with the Chromebook,
yeah.
Because, there's no, I love this Chromebook. It boots up in a couple of seconds. Everything I want to do is here. There's no bloat. Every once in a while, I'll see a little thing down here that says, oh, there's an upgrade. And it's already downloaded. It's already installed. All I have to do is reboot, which I don't even have to do right now. I can just close it down like I normally do. And the next time I open it up.
And the battery life is great on it.
9 hours I get on this thing for a battery life.
Yeah.
Under normal usage, if I'm playing music or whatever.
Yeah, but
or watching
for the average
video,
person,
obviously,
you know,
less.
I've been trying to, talk more and more folks into it than getting, say, a bigger laptop. And everything else, you know, or they don't want to go to a big desktop. I say, you know what? For the price you're going to pay for a big desktop, you can get a couple Chromebooks. One for you, one for the kids. And then that way, if the kids infect their machine or do whatever, oh, well, it doesn't affect you.
And they can infect it.
And, you know, that's...
What's interesting is the Chromebook actually has two copies of the operating system. And every time you turn it on, mm-hmm. it compares them. If they are not, one of them is writable, the other one is not writable.
Okay.
And so it compares them. And if they are different, it now goes out to Google's website
mm-hmm.
and pulls down a fresh copy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's covering your butt whether you want
small.
It.
It's fairly small. Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, though, is they're actually doing what a lot of folks don't, and that's protecting the operating system and running stuff to keep
it
safe.
That's right. And that's why, so far, there haven't been any repeatable viruses for it.
It's that catch-22. We hope it doesn't get that popular that the bad guys start making viruses.
Well, and
as David said, the threat is changing. You get fake pop-up messages.
Right.
So you get messages on your Chromebook. I've seen people get them on the iPad. Your Windows computer is infected with a virus. Call this phone number and we'll clean it for you. I'm not running Windows is your first clue.
Right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I've actually seen them here. Windows has detected a virus. Really? From where?
Yeah.
What Windows machine somewhere has detected a virus on my Chromebook?
Well, it's like Steve on his Mac, and he was getting reports that, your Windows operating system is infected.
Yep. And we had a customer this week got caught in a search failure, I guess is the right word, that he Googled Gmail help and ended up at not Google.
Yeah.
And didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And
you do have to be a little careful. The ads at the top are not necessarily your friends. But a couple of weeks ago when I was sick, I had the flu, I watched two full-length HD movies on this thing and then thought, I should probably plug this in.
Yeah.
At some point, and I still had a couple hours of battery left, so I don't worry much about this. All right, look, this music tells me we're done for another week. I hope each and every one of you had a great holiday season, and I hope that next year is happy, healthy and blessed for each and every one of you. We will see you next year with this. And we want to thank all of you for making this year as terrific as it is for us. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so that works out well. And we're taking the rest of the year off. I don't care what anybody says. We'll be back next year with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe at 55 minutes after the hour. We are Sound Bites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks so much for listening. See you next year.